Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. You might have heard the news today that 49% of drivers believe that a company driver rule should be scrapped for learner drivers. That was according to the survey carried out on behalf of Aviva Insurance Ireland. It also showed 25% of drivers think the accompany driver rule for learners should be scrapped until the backlog is cleared. 19% of drivers believe amnesty should be given to learner drivers due to the large backlog of driving test applications, as was done back in 1979. I'm sure they do. That would avoid those 19% actually going and doing a test at all because they just get a free license. Do you remember the amnesty back in 1979? My mother, at the time, got a driver's license, so she had a full driver's license. She never sat behind the wheel of a car in her life. She never drove in her life, never even tried, never did a lesson, never tried to drive a car. She was not interested. My father drove her everywhere. But yet, she had a full license because she got it during the amnesty, like most people. Now, that seems a bit bonkers to me, by the way. Unleashing unqualified drivers onto the road with a license because we can't get through the backlog quick enough is a bit bonkers. We did it before. It was a bad idea. We all know it was a bad idea. That's not going to happen again. I hope not, anyway. Is there anything in this country that is working as it should be? It seems not. Nothing in this country seems to. We're making an absolute horlicks of everything in this country. We couldn't run a piss up in a brewery. Jane, you couldn't. This lot, I swear to God, they wouldn't get it in a brothel. They can't do anything right. Everything we do, we make a hames of. The children's hospital, immigration, everything we do, we just make a mess of it. Housing people, social welfare. We make a mess of everything. We're incapable of running a country. Well, it's not us. It's the people we elect. They're completely incapable of it. It's quite clear. It's not that difficult. It's a small little country. There's only 5 million people in it. Jesus, could you imagine Leo and Michal over in America with 360 million people? God almighty. Is there anything, by the way, that you can think of that we do well? Making a bollocks of things. That's what we do. We do that really well. We're champions. We get first prize for that one. Get the gold. But is there anything we do well at all? I don't know. If anybody can think of anything we do well, by the way, will you text in 087-188-0008? Is there anything that we do well? Anyway, getting back to driving. The accompanied driver rule means that a learned driver must be accompanied by driving by a driver who has their full license for 2 years or more. Now, we all know that according to the survey, half of you would scrap it. In other words, you would get rid of that if you thought it was an available option for you. Now, they did bring in the Clancy Amendment to the legislation going back a few years ago. And the reason they brought that in was sadly because somebody died because a driver who didn't have an accompanied driver with them was on the wrong side of the road. And sadly, the people coming the other direction in a head-on collision died. So that particular piece of legislation amendment was named after them. Now, it doesn't happen that often, thankfully. And I'm kind of on the fence. I'm genuinely on the fence with this, right? That, okay, you may have an experienced driver beside you, but if you don't stop quick enough or, the car in front of you stops and you're a learner and they stop and you don't know what to do and you don't hit the brake in time, having someone sit beside you is not going to make an ounce of difference to that problem. So I get that. But I do also get the idea that it makes it a bit more difficult, and certainly it shouldn't be that easy for you to drive around with no skill whatsoever. And the idea that you can just get into a car with a provision license or a learner permit, as they call it nowadays, and drive a car on a road, a piece of metal that weighs a ton, to drive it around as you wish on a busy road with pedestrians and cars around is a bit bonkers in itself. But look, that's probably the only way we can do things. So, do you believe we should scrap the accompany driver rule? Because there is an argument. People say, well, hold on, I'm waiting for my test. I live in the middle of nowhere. I have a family to feed. I need to get to work. I can't ring me dad every morning to come to work with me just because I need a qualified driver beside me or my ma. Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 087-188-0008. Should we scrap that law? Eddie, how are you?
Good evening, Noel. You well?
Good. Eddie, I mean, look, this rule has been around since time began. Since my day at the provisional license, you were meant to have a qualified driver with you, right? But nobody ever abided by it, and nobody ever done anything about it. Until about 5 years ago when the Clancy Amendment came in, and now the guards kind of got tough on it. So, but should we scrap it? Is it a good law?
Oh, do you know what, Niall? I have to say, I wouldn't scrap it. And like you said there, all it takes is for one person to go out on the road on a provisional, on his own, cause a big accident, a few people die, and then everyone be out saying he shouldn't be on the road. Right? And then also...
Before you go any further, before you go into the also, would having a qualified driver sitting beside him have made a difference?
Well, at the moment, my nephew's doing his driver, he's doing his lessons. And I did take him out in my car, and he bought his own little car. But he doesn't drive it unless he has a fully licensed driver like me with him. And there's times where we're driving down the road and reading the road signs, he's only learning. I know more about that. Getting in right lanes, coming to roundabouts, stuff like that. He's learning it. But with me with him, he's safer than he would be on his own. There's no doubt about it, you know, because I'm driving years.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one big bad accident, like you said there, that Clancy Amendment or whatever, and it just shut the whole thing down. And then you also have the insurance companies. They just, if they were out in the car on their own and they have a crash, their insurance is null and void. They're not going to cover them. You know?
Yeah, no, they will. They will refuse to cover them.
Yeah, they'll turn around and go, no, you broke the agreement. You were supposed to drive that with only a fully qualified driver in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
You drove it on your own. You crashed. And not only that, the person that's driving the car on their own, maybe an 18-year-old teenager, and he writes off someone else's car because his insurance is null and void, he has to pay this person back 20, 30 grand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not worth it. What we do need to do, I totally agree with you, we don't know how to run a bath. We need to get more bloody testers. We need to employ more testers. Like my nephew at the moment, the waiting list for him is 10 months to a year. Now, what happens if he fails his test? How long is he going to be waiting for the next one?
I know.
It's absolutely bonkers. Now, his mate, I said to him, don't go out and buy a car. Just don't go out and buy a car because I don't want you driving it on your own illegally. Well, he went out and he bought a car, right? Just pig-headed. But fair play to him. He's only driving. He actually gets the bus to work. He's only driving it when he has a fully qualified driver with him. In fact, it actually conked out the other day because the battery was flat because it sits in the garden that much because he doesn't drive it as much as he should do. But on the flip side of that, his mate went out, bought a car, and he's been caught about 3 or 4 times by the guards. It's been impounded. They fined him, the whole lot. You know, is it worth it?
This is because he didn't have a qualified driver with him.
Because he didn't have a qualified driver. Yeah,
yeah. And just to let people know, yeah, because somebody texted about the Clancy Amendment, just to remind people, of course, it was Geraldine Clancy and her daughter Louise that were killed in a car crash back in 2017 or 18, I think it was, when an unqualified driver had a head-on collision with them. And sadly, that particular day, they lost their lives. And that's why the amendment was brought in. Now, as I said, the legislation was already there, but the amendment was brought in to clarify to everybody, going forward, we're not letting people away with this anymore. You know,
you go to Florida on your holidays. Would you get on a plane if you knew the pilot didn't have a license?
No, but if I knew there was a qualified pilot beside him, I probably would. But there you go. See, so
yeah,
I'm now contradicting myself.
If there
wasn't
a qualified pilot, that's my point.
Yeah, they have to learn sometime. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is what you have to think about. Like this driver, this unqualified driver, he has the responsibility of every single passenger.
But when do you cease to... with the old license system, the provisional and the full license, now it's a learning permit, right? The provisional is gone, right? But with the old system, for your first... Do you remember the old system? You had to have 2 provisionals before you could make an application for a full license. Wasn't that the way it was years ago? And
oh, I don't know.
Yeah, and on the first one, you had to have the qualified driver, but on the second one, you didn't, right? In other words, they assumed after a year you knew how to drive a car. And I kind of understand that to some degree. But now it's just you must have, once you've learned a permit, you must have a qualified driver with you, right? And I sometimes think, well, if somebody has maybe driven on a learned a permit for 2 years, they probably know how to drive a car just as well as I. Well, maybe not as well as I do. Or you?
Well, Noel, I'll shoot you down there now, right? Because I know someone that works in the test centre, right? And there's people coming in every day, lads about between 18 and 24, 25, right? They get a job, they go out, they get a car on finance, brand new car, right? Driving it for 3 or 4 years, go in for a test drive to the test centre in their brand new car that they've had 2 or 3 years, fail the test, and then get out and drive home. Mm. It's gas. You know, it's absolutely gas. They're actually just proved there and then.
Oh, yeah, I know. And you do get it. When you fail, you get a certificate of incompetence. In other words, we're telling you you're incapable of driving a car, but then we let you drive it home again.
Yeah. Nuts. Absolutely bonkers. Like,
But you're right about the backlog. We need more testers, but they won't.
Yeah.
For some reason, they don't seem to want to hire private companies to do the testing. You know, it would be much easier if they hired, when I say hire private companies, the tests, you know, the companies that go out and give the lessons, for example. There are a lot of qualified people doing those that could do the tests. They could be given a quick course on how to do the test. But they don't seem to want to do that. That would speed up the whole process for everybody.
It would. It was like the same with the NCT. They had to bring in loads of lads from the Philippines, and they live over in the hotels over here in the north side near the airport. And they bust them over to the likes of Fonthill and all these other places every day. And the next time you're getting your NCT, you'll see all these lads, because they just couldn't get Irish lads to do it, you know?
Well, it's just, rather than do what they do in the UK, for example, or in England, which is you go to a recognised garage in your area and they're licensed to do the MOTs, you know? Anyway, stay there for a second, Billy, or Eddie. Billy, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you keeping?
Good. I mean, there's a lot of people waiting for tests, you know, maybe first time around, second time around. And they can't drive. They're not allowed. Well, technically, but they are doing it, but they're not allowed.
Well, no, first thing, the Clancy case was 2015.
2015? Was it that long ago? Sorry, I do apologise. 2015
when that happened, and absolutely horrific case of an unaccompanied driver causing that accident. And that, from memory of the case that happened after, that unaccompanied driver had been caught on numerous occasions breaking the law, being unaccompanied and driving, and still did it anyway.
Yeah.
So that
thank you.
All right, cheers.
Secondly, then I was listening to another radio station. I do it on occasion.
How dare you?
I know. You won't hold it against me. This is the podcast now, so you know. Give me a break on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you a break.
What was said was someone had called in and had said that. Testers, they're actually looking for new testers now, but the last batch of testers that they had, their contract expired and they were not allowed to renew that contract.
Why?
So they're after letting go. I'm not sure what the reason was, but basically the contract that they had, about 100 of those testers, their contracts had expired, and that the Department of Transport was contracting for new testers instead of renewing those. So 100 of them are gone and they're getting in 60 to replace, I think was the figure that was quoted.
Right, so there's still got to be 40 down.
Still 40 down, and you've got 100 people there that could do the job, but they don't want to keep them in for whatever reason.
It's not just 100. There's lads and ladies all over the country who give lessons, who are very qualified, if they were given a bit of a course.
Yeah, but you need to be qualified as a tester.
Of course, yeah, they'd have to do a course as a tester, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like you're right. But as it stands, they're getting rid of 100. They're getting in 60 to replace that 100. So instead of having 160, they're losing out on 100 testers.
Can I just say, by the way, being a tester, right? No disrespect to testers, it's not the most difficult job in the world. You know, it's the same. It's you're taking the same route every day. You're telling people to do the same technical things they have to do. I don't know whether they still do the reverse around the corner, the 3-point turn, and all
they
those.
When I did it a couple of years ago, they did.
Yeah, so it hasn't changed. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure what the truth in this is or not, Niall. But I remember when I was doing the test, the great myth out there was that there was a percentage that they had to hit in failures, whether you're good or not. Good enough.
I think the percentage one year. I remember talking about this one year, and I think it was like 1 year was 51% failures.
Yeah. Now, what does that say? That the instructors aren't doing their jobs properly? That the 12 lesson system hasn't worked properly? You know, 50%, if any other industry had a 49 or 50% failure rate, you'd be looking at the way the test is being administered.
But I did the test 4 years ago. Was it 4 years ago? Myself and Helena, my producer at the time, we both did the driving test for the crack. We had a tester on the air and we were talking about it. And he says, why don't you just come and do the test? And we said, okay. We both failed. Now, I failed. Now, in my defense, I failed because I was driving a manual car, which I hadn't driven in about 15 years. And I forgot to take, I took my foot off the clutch too quickly at an intersection. The car just cut out. And yeah. I was instantly failed. And rightly so, probably, too. Helena failed because she mounted the footpath. So it just goes to show you, it is easy to fail.
But that's another thing now. After you pass your test, there is no, unless you're a professional driver, there is no driver competency after that. Mm. You do your test, you're done. That's it. It doesn't matter if you drive until you're then, I think it's 70, when you have to start going to the doctor to get a doctor to sign off that you need to get your license renewed every year. It might be later than that again. But, you know, once you got that test done, that's it. You never have to have any sort of continuous improvement or assessment. And it's,
well, I was going to say we should change that in the future, but there's probably no point because within the next 10 to 20 years, most cars will be autonomous anyway.
I wouldn't say that now. Maybe not 10 to 20. It might happen eventually, but, you know, there's still going to be instances where people will want to drive. And if you look at the roads at the moment, like even the testing at the moment, so when you do your lessons, you're not brought on a motorway. You know,
I never understood that. Yeah, you should be.
You're not brought on a dual carriageway. You're not brought on a motorway. You don't, you know, if you've driven down and was on a motorway earlier on, how many people hog the overtaking lane? Just sit out in the overtaking lane.
Yeah. And the majority of people are tested in daylight as well, not at nighttime.
Yeah. Or very, you know, and conditions, wet conditions can be, you know, if people don't know how to react to these conditions, it's, you know, we're always being told that we need to improve road safety. But after we do a driving test, very little is done to improve road safety.
The highest rate of accidents at the moment, by the way, in case you didn't know this, I was only reading this lesson. Hold on, I think I saved it on my phone. Because I thought it was an interesting statistic for the show. So I said I'd save it. I'm 90% sure I saved it. No, my luck, I bloody didn't. Let me see. It was to do with, it was research. No, I bloody didn't save it. Anyway, it was to do with research in relation to who has the most amount of accidents. And the answer is electric cars. Electric cars have a much higher rate currently at the moment of accidents. Now, when I say accidents, not fatalities, just accidents, then regular cars. And that's because people are shifting from diesel and petrol to electric, and they don't have a grasp of the torque that are in the electric cars. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, you know, the average electric car has a faster torque or better torque than, you know, a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? So people don't get that immediately when they're driving them. And for the first while, they're running into things. So electric cars have a high rate of accidents. You know,
but again, it's a different way of driving, different style of driving.
Oh, yeah, the same way as when you do a test, you either do your test in an automatic or a manual, and you're only qualified and you're only licensed to drive one or the other. Or if you do it in a manual, you're licensed to drive both. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But if you do it in an automatic, you're only licensed to drive an automatic.
That's going to be another thing going forward now, because
electric cars.
Most cars now are going to be automatic. The case of the manual gearbox has kind of gone out the window.
Yeah, I don't understand why people drive manual cars. I just don't get it.
Going forward, they're probably not going to have an option in new cars. It will be automatics predominantly. So,
well, stay there just for a second. Let me go to Sandra as well. Sandra, hi. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Sandra, your daughter's waiting for the test.
A year. It's a year. She said they told her she's going to get it in July, and she applied in June last year. Wow. I have 5 kids. She is number 3, so I have 2 that are much younger than her. And she is a good driver. She is a safe driver. And every day I have to suffer. And after I drop the other 2 to school, I have to come back. She has to drive to college just to keep her practice up. And then I drive home. I drive her car home. And then her car sits across the road. Every day. It drives me mad. She has to get the bus then into town from college and into work. And then she's not even home from work yet. And it drives me mad because she's a safe driver. And I like that my younger 2 are 11 and 8. And I wouldn't let them in the car with her if she wasn't a safe driver. Mm-hmm. The 2 of them sit in the back if she has to do X, Y, and Z, or if she's driving on the weekend. But it takes away from everything that I'm trying to do with my life. It is the biggest burden. Now, I learned to drive the way everybody else did. I got into the car, I'd done my lessons. Once I'd passed my 10 lessons and I'd done the first test and I failed it like on the clutch, and it was a new clutch I got. So the second one, I got it. But I went out and I drove every day, and I had my older 3 kids in the car who were babies at the time. So I was safe and I was careful, and I've never been in an accident, touch wood, and I taught my daughter how to drive. Now, we got her 10 lessons as well.
Yeah.
And she got, was her 12 lessons. And your man was really impressed with her. He was like, God, you're great. She's great at parking. She does the 3-point turn. I taught her in the tiniest little alleyway in town behind Sophie's bar when she was on her way into work one morning. Cried her eyes out. I'm not going to be able to turn the car around. She did it. And I was like, no, look at you. Aren't you great? To this day, we still laugh about it. Mm-hmm. And it drives me mad that she can't just get into her car and practice and drive. And she's a safe driver.
See, Billy, are you listening to this? Billy, are you listening to this? I understand this.
I wouldn't let her in the car. If I thought she was going to kill herself or somebody else, I would say you were not ready to drive in the car by yourself.
But
as it is now, I'd be happy for her to do that. And she's friends that get into their car with no adult supervision and just go off and drive. And like that, cars have been taken off them so many times. Some of them are lucky and get away with it. I'm not willing to let her do that because I don't want to mess anything up for her. But if push came to shove and it was an emergency, I'd have to say to her, you need to go and do
well,
this.
Well, here's the risk. If she got caught, by the way, she could end up with points on her license.
If she got caught, yeah. This is the thing.
And her first insurance would be loaded. Okay, but hang on, Sandra, just a second. Billy, see, I do see a case, you know, whereby...
All I'm going to say, Niall, is the Clancy Amendment and what happened...
But
you can't punish everybody. Hang on,
Sandra, just let Billy finish what he was saying.
People that have died on the roads, and you can't punish everybody that drives because people have been killed. And I'm not taking away from families because I have 5 children myself and I would be devastated if anything happened to them, my world would end. But I'm saying it's not fair to take away from everybody to say, okay, you know what? You're not allowed to drive now. Because not every young driver is reckless.
Okay, just let Billy respond to that.
But Sandra, it's not punishment. It's the rules of the road. It's not punishment.
You can call it a rule if you want, but it is a punishment. It is punishment.
But are they just punishing your daughter then? But how are we as drivers?
I am being punished. I'm being punished.
I would say it's an inconvenience to you. It's not a punishment.
It is a punishment to me. It is.
It's an inconvenience.
It affects my life. It is affects my life hugely, hugely. I have other kids in this house that I have to try and look after and get to X, Y, and Z. And at the same time, I have to try my best to get out and get her to practice as much as she can. And it's a massive punishment for me. It is a punishment.
Hang on, please, Sandra. Just let Billy respond.
She is a safe driver.
Go ahead.
Sandra, if I may, the fault here is not your daughter, it's not you. It's the fact that there's not enough testers. As you said, your daughter put in her application in June of last year to get tested, and we'll be waiting till, what did you say, July?
July, yeah, this year. Yeah. Let me just give a compromise here, and I don't know whether you would agree with the compromise, Billy. That, similar to the way the old system worked, which I think I was explaining to Eddie or yourself, I can't remember, that when you had your provisional license, when I was young... someone has the radio on in the background there. When you had the provisional license when I was young, on the first license, as far as I remember, you had to have your qualified driver. On your second provisional license, or learner permit as they call it now, you didn't have to have a qualified driver.
Niall, I don't agree with that either, because you could sit around your provisional license or your learner permit as it is now lasts 2 years. You could sit around for 2 years and not do anything and not do any of the 10 lessons and get your second provisional license. And by the logic that you're proposing there, you'd be allowed to drive on a car.
No, there has to be criteria too. You'd have to have done the 10 lessons.
This is the thing. The system changed because the system
But if you were allowed to practice, that would be fine. And this is the thing. The kids aren't being allowed to practice. There is kids that get their 10 lessons. And you know what? They can't practice because there's no one around to help them. I have a nephew at the moment who has a car sitting in the garden for 3 months, hasn't been able to get into that car because there's no one around to help him. And like that, he done his 10 lessons. We're waiting for his test. When is his test? Next year.
I was in my late 20s before I got a car and I was living away from home. I didn't have the luxury of having a parent get in the car with me.
I drove on a provisional license with nobody beside me.
Hang on.
I can only hear one person at a time. Sorry, Billy. I drove on a provisional license with nobody. Okay, Billy, did you drive on a provisional license with nobody beside you?
I had to get housemates, Niall, to go in the car with me.
How old are you, Billy?
I'm in my 30s, Niall.
Oh, okay. I thought you were... Okay.
I was in my late 20s when I got my license.
But most of us of my age, of my vintage, we didn't have people in the car with us.
Yeah, Niall, but on your age and your vintage, there wasn't 2 million cars on the road at the time either. You know, there it was a different time. It was, you know, back in, what was it, 1973, when everyone in the country who had a provisional license...
79, yeah.
Sorry, given a license without a test.
An amnesty.
Just posted
that's,
out.
That's right.
Prior to that, if your qualifying criteria... prior to that, in the late 60s, the qualifying criteria to get a license was if your father had a car. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're not going back to that time. You know, we're not. It's not.
But
going
I get what Sandra's saying. If that young fella has a car sitting in the garden for 3 months and he has no qualified driver to sit in the car with him, so he can get out and get a bit of experience and practice, and he does his test, and let's say he passes his test and he gets his driver's license, and then he can go out on the road. He's now going out on a road with very little practice, but enough just so he could pass his test because he did his lessons. So he has no real experience of driving. Do you understand what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense.
But again, Niall,
it's just like a tick a box.
The system as a whole doesn't make sense, Niall. The test as a whole doesn't make sense.
That's what we're talking about. It doesn't make sense. That young fella's ticking a box.
It doesn't, but Niall...
Sandra's daughter's ticking boxes.
But sending people out on the road unaccompanied also doesn't make sense.
But you're willing to send a young fella out who hasn't driven his car in 3 months, might not get his test for another 3 or 4 months or whatever he gets it. He might pass his test. Then he's go out on a road and he hasn't driven the car in 6 or 7 months.
Niall, if we were serious about testing in this country, as you said there, we'd be testing in the dark. We'd be testing on... It would be a setup like they have in the US with a driver's ed type situation where you would drive down an empty road before you go on to show that you can drive on an empty road before you can drive on a road with other cars.
Personally, I believe that every child should come out of secondary school with a driver's license.
Completely agree with you. Yeah.
So, Sandra, your daughter must be fierce frustrated, is she?
Sorry, say that again.
She must be fierce frustrated that she can't drive the car.
Oh, she's livid. She really is livid. Mm. And I feel sorry for her because I'm not paying for the insurance on the car. She is. And she's paying $2,500 for the year for her to have the luxury of driving the car to college when she's in college.
And then Sandra, she's in work. I might sound harsh, Sandra. I had to wait 10 months for my first test and I had to wait 6 months for my second test.
And for both of you, that's an unacceptable time period. But both of you stay there a second. Let me just go to Sean. Sean, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Sean, you've heard Sandra, her daughter, your car sitting across the road. She only gets to drive it when her mum is available to go with her.
Niall, I'm a professional driver. And I'm a professional driver since I'm 21. I had both licenses to teach people how to drive and a taxi license. And I've done both, Niall, I've been listening to both conversations here. My son, Niall, he's 21 now, and he's been driving 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now, what I've done with him, Niall, is I got him insured in my car when he was 17.
Yeah.
He passed his, his 30, and he got his provisional license, Niall. I put him on my insurance, Niall, and I had him driving my cars, Niall. Hit my cars while he was on my insurance because he couldn't obviously get his own car, because I have high powered cars now. Mm. He was driving them around while he was 17. And I told him, don't put a provisional or a learner permit on, the learner.
On the window.
So, yes, of course.
So he was driving them, and you weren't with him in the car when he was driving them?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No. You see, what that this woman just said there a minute ago, I assessed him and I knew he was a good driver and he got his 10 lessons and even the driving tester said he's great.
That's marvelous. I'm delighted he was marvelous in the end. But the fact that and you're talking about high performance cars, because most kids now are not allowed to drive anything past the 1.6
and that's why I pointed this out. And it's the fact that I pointed this out, Niall.
And you were okay with your 17-year-old milling around in a high-performance car?
Absolutely. See, here's the thing, Niall.
Without you sitting beside him.
I'm going to outline this to you. First of all, a car is a car. Whether it's a 1 litre or a 2 litre.
No.
They're going to kill themselves anyway.
No, you're talking to your arse.
No.
There's a big difference in driving a Micra and driving, I don't know, a BMW. Of course there's a big difference.
Hold on, Niall. A Micra can do 100 miles an hour, same as a BMW, Niall.
Oh, Jesus. I wouldn't like to do 100 miles an hour in a Micra, but go on.
Well, it can do it. And the second of all, Niall, I have told, and I've said to your researcher, me sitting in the passenger seat, what am I meant to do? And that goes back to the last caller there. What am I meant to do, Billy, in a collision? What am I like? I've no pedals in front of me,
I would hope that your son in the car with you would not be travelling and breaking speed limits. But I'll tell you what, Niall, you were talking to someone about...
No, don't revert back to Niall. I'm asking you, Billy.
I just want to make a point, Jeff.
What am I meant to do, Billy?
Why don't you calm down?
What am I meant to do with a person beside me, Billy?
I'll tell you what. What should have happened there is your son was caught in a high performance car on a provisional license without an L plate.
Yeah, no. Right? Billy, we're not going there.
Being an uninsured driver on the road.
He got away with it, Billy.
Billy, and it should have been scrapped.
Billy,
that's what you.
I'm going to tell you now, Billy. Now, you're a begrudger, Billy, and you're begrudging my son.
I'm not a begrudger, Billy,
because I'm not to be listening to you, Billy. Now, here's the thing, Billy. Can I just say something to you, Niall and Billy? Here's the thing,
Go for it.
You are a begrudger. See, now, he's out on his own now, Billy. No, you are, Billy. You're a little bitch.
Good for you. He's out on his own, Billy. Hold on, Billy. He wasn't going to kill anybody, Billy.
You little asshole, Billy.
Hang on, Sean. There's enough of the personal insults now, all right?
By the way,
I know Billy's name. You don't have to keep saying it all the time.
There's no need for that. And here's the thing.
You can't make an argument. You play the man. No. You're just getting pissed off
now. What that girl said about her daughter, she's a safe driver, and she trusts her. She's done her lessons. Same as my son. He done his lessons, right? Now, it's not your fault that the fucking NDLS is taking his time to get their licenses involved. Now, what we done is, as parents, now, fair enough, she didn't let our daughter drive. I let my son drive. Now, I'm glad I let him, because you know why? Now, he built up 3 years, no claims bonus, in my policy. Behind my policy. And when he went for his policy, he got the discounts. And I'm glad for him.
Hang on, Sean, relax there for a second, will you? You do realize if he had got caught driving with no insurance, you're saying he was on your insurance, right? But he was 17 on a learner permit. Your insurance company would not cover him on that car if anything had happened.
That's how much I trusted him, Niall.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. But that's great. But if the guards had pulled him in or he was involved in an accident, he would have ended up with penalty points on his license or an endorsement on his license, and he wouldn't be getting insurance.
Niall, hold on. Can I say something to you, Niall?
Yeah.
He was pulled 3 or 4 times, Niall, by the Gardaí on the way home, and he was asked to produce insurance a couple of times, which he did. And he's under my name. That he's the driver of that car. And there was
assuming they asked him for a license too. Did the guards not recognise the fact that he was a learner driver?
Of course they did. And he did say it. Where's your full license, driver?
Where's your L plates? Yeah.
No. They didn't even mention.
I agree. My daughter's friend has to drive to work, and this is part of my daughter's job. She's meant to be driving, and she's suspended at the moment from this part of her job because she can't drive. But one lad is on a provisional. And he drives in every day from Meath, and he was stopped. And the guards asked him, where was his driver? And he said, I'm waiting a year on this test, and I need to drive into work. And you know what the guards said to him? They said, be careful and mind yourself. That's what the guards said to him.
But the only thing I will say in Billy's defense and what he's saying, driving is not an entitlement.
Driving
a car is a privilege. It's not an entitlement. You're not entitled to drive a car.
I never said that, Niall. But the fact of the matter is, Niall, my son got through 3 years of this. And the fact of the matter is,
He is a safe driver. What that girl just said there.
I'm glad he is.
Just kicked in there and said, of course he is. But the likes of Billy there and all this,
the likes of Billy.
And hold on. You're saying the likes of me, right? I'm on your fucking side here, buddy, because I'm saying the NDLS needs to hire more testers to clear the bloody backlog, right? But what I'm also saying is you have encouraged your kid to break the law. Like, that's what's wrong with this country. People are encouraging their kids to break the law left, right, and centre, and we're wondering why the place is going to fucking shit.
Billy, can I say something to you? As I said, I'm a professional driver, and Billy, here's the thing. My daughter, 1 year's time from now, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to teach her how to drive when she's 16 in industrial car parks, right? I'm going to teach her how to drive. And when she's 17, she's going to be insured under me again. And there's not going to be no L plates, no N plates, no nothing. And she's going to do the same again as her brother did. And you know why?
And you know what? It is. You know what?
That's the way
you know
it is. We have to hide the N plates.
Hang on, stay there, all of you. Let me just. Have I got time? Oh, I haven't got time to go to Adrian. Oh, Adrian, go on. I'll give you a minute before we get to the news. Go on, Adrian. Go ahead.
Hi, Niall. How are you giving?
I do apologise. I'm running really short of time, but make it as quick as you possibly can.
Look, my point is, it's true in this country, the short people from the tester, the instructors. My opinion is something like, why they don't try also with to make the test drive with traffic guards? Because what I know, they are the best ones what you can pass at the river, you know? Mm-hmm. Like my license, I got my license with a guard traffic man beside me, no instructor for the and whatever they are, you know?
Yeah, so there was no instructor, no. And where did you get your license, by the way, originally?
You see, I took it on 97 from Romania, and I started laughing when I heard about the license.
How easy is it to get a driver's license in Romania?
No, it's not easy because, you see, we got 30 hours with a school instruction, not only 12.
Okay,
like
30 hours. Okay, that's a long time. Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. You're doing also a few hours on the nighttime to learn to drive on the nighttime.
So the lessons that you get, the 30 hours, must be done day and night.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, that doesn't happen here, I don't think. Yeah.
And when we get a test, we, the guards in the car, know we someone else what they think they are better instructor or whatever, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's different. Like, you see, when
and are you test, when you're waiting for the test, Adrian, are you allowed to drive a car on your own? No.
No, we don't have this. You see, you are allowed to drive with the car only without 30 hours with instructor. It's true, we don't have that difference of 2 years from 16 to 80 to doing lesson with your parents or your friends, you know.
Okay, so once you do your lessons, you must then do your test. And if you make an application in Romania to do a driving test, how long will you be waiting to do the test?
You see, back in the day, you took it on the same day. You take the
on
test
the day.
On the morning.
Oh, okay.
On the day. If you pass the test, and next hour you'll go with the cops to doing the driving test, you know.
See, Billy, that's how it should be done. On the last day, if you do your last lesson, you do your test on the day.
Well, the issue is we don't have the number of testers.
No, we don't. Karen, do you believe that people should be allowed to drive a car on a learner permit with no qualified driver with them?
For the first 12 months, I believe that they should have to have a learner or a full driver with them.
Mm-hmm.
But after 12 months, I do think then that they should be allowed to drive without a full driver. Like, at the end of the day, what I can't understand is youngsters of 16 years of age are allowed to drive tractors and trailers, do silage runs, do all this, like, with big machinery, you know.
Most of that would be driven on their own land, but most of that's driven on private land, most of it.
Well, I suppose, being from the country myself, to be honest with you, Niall, like, in back roads where I'm living, like, you would meet young lads coming, towering up the road towards you during the silage season there, and they're doing everything they can with, and like, to get as fast as they can.
Yeah.
And like, with big loads behind them, like, it's ludicrous to think that while we have this argument, and yes, I believe in safety first and it's paramount, but like, the the biggest argument is that unfortunately there just are not enough instructors, which is crazy. You know, it's crazy to think that this is still the case at this day and age. But like, yet at 16, somebody can sit behind the wheel of a tractor or a trailer, or with a trailer on behind it, or with machinery.
Yeah, with 4 tons. Yeah,
they're legal to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I understand the argument, and I don't know the statistics on how many accidents that 16-year-olds have been involved in driving tractors in rural Ireland. I don't know the stats on that, you know, but I do know the stats involving, well, I don't know them directly, but there are stats involving, you know, unaccompanied drivers who are involved in accidents, and for that very reason, we have legislation now that says you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, and I understand that completely.
Mm. I you know, my heart goes out to families who are directly impacted by that and victims. But in saying that, I understand your argument too, that after a year, they're reasonably qualified to drive a car. Now, they may not pass a test yet, but they're reasonably qualified to drive a car. And I suppose that was the way it was when I got my license. On the first license, you had to have a competent driver.
And the same with myself.
Yeah.
I'm in my mid-40s and it was the same, you know. We got our license, and the first provisional you weren't like, I actually smiled when you said it earlier on because it brought me back years.
Yeah.
And like, if it's a thing that you were able to access your test and just didn't bother your behind going for it, that's one thing. But the reality is, unfortunately, the testers just aren't there, so like kids aren't able to access the test. My friends at the moment whose children have done all their like their lessons, they're driving with their parents as often as they can. But still can't get access to a driving test.
Yeah, but I'm hearing some of the stories tonight of people waiting over a year for a test. It is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the government's fault. But then again, this is the Irish government. They don't seem to be able to do anything right.
Anything right, exactly.
I think we're going to have a competition during the week. Jane has suggested it. We'll have a competition to see if anybody can suggest something the Irish government have done right recently or done a good job of. I don't think we'll have a winner. That's the problem, but... but I do accept that, and it brings back memories for me too. And I knew people who drove on provisional licenses for years, never even bothered doing the test. They just drove on a provisional license. In those days, you didn't have to. Well, nobody mentioned having an L plate up in a window, and you didn't have to. You could renew your license even if you failed your test. You just renewed your provisional license and kept driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
But it's all changed now, of course. And
of course.
And they do say, by the way, that, you know, the roads are a safer place because of legislation that we brought in. I'm looking here from 2018, the proportion of learner drivers involved in fatal car accidents is much lower than the proportion of learner drivers on the road. Almost 9% of all drivers in Ireland hold a learner permit, but figures supplied to RTE by the Road Safety Authority suggest that in the past 4 years, just 5.8% of fatal collisions involved a learner driver. So actually, that's not a bad statistic. That kind of suggests that learner drivers actually are not involved in fatalities. Now, mind you, you also have to factor into that learner drivers wouldn't be driving as much. Do you know what I mean? As, say, professional drivers or people who are driving back and forward to work every day and on their own, etc., etc. So that has to be factored into those stats.
No, I do fully agree, though, that learner drivers should not be allowed to drive like anything higher than a 1.4, for example.
Yes.
You know, that I think that just goes without saying.
Well, there is a restriction, isn't there? 1.6, I think, is the restriction. Yeah, 1.6, I think, is the restriction.
Yeah.
But I even remember in my day, you couldn't get insured on anything bigger than a 2 litre until you were 25.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
So, stay there for a second. Let me go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you?
Well, it's Craig.
Dave, I mean, what do you think? Should you be allowed to drive without a qualified driver with you?
I don't know. Like, once upon a time, I would have banged the drum for the learner driver, but like you said it yourself there, statistically, accidents involving learner drivers have gone down, you know? Like, I think the issue is just we just don't have enough testers. I mean, I did my driving test 6 years ago, and the guy told me that a lot of lads were just aging out, you know? They were just retiring, and they weren't being replaced. Like, Tipperary Town, for example, is a perfect example. My cousin was supposed to do his driving test tomorrow, but it was cancelled at the last minute because they don't have a tester to come down and actually do the test with him. So I think we need a massive hiring drive, you know, to actually bring more testers in.
And has he got another date for his test, by the way?
No, he could be waiting another 4, 5, 6 months. It just depends on when they get somebody, because there's such a back. Remember when I was doing my test, was saying to me, he said that they were considering doing another amnesty if you're on your second or third license. But I suppose whatever EU department they had to run that by were like, listen, if you do that, we're not going to insure your drivers on the road.
I remember that was in the paper at the time. Yes, the EU said that insurance companies couldn't insure drivers who had an amnesty. And I could understand that too.
Because this is like, there's a massive difference between driving on like the roads I drive on daily and driving on, say, the autobahn, for example. Like, you know what I mean?
But
to be fair, though, but I think testers are a bit of a problem here as well, because like, I remember the first time I did my driving test, I failed it spectacularly, you know, and a lot of it was because when I went in, your man called my name and I went up and goes, hi, I'm Dave. Yeah. Put out the hand to shake his hand. And he just looked at me, you know, and just looked me up and down and goes, come in. You know what I mean? So immediately he didn't put me at ease. You know, like I started getting anxious. And then the second time I did it, then when I passed, I even said it to around the car. I was like, listen, pass or fail, I just want to say thanks because you've actually really put me at ease here. I feel like I'm driving around with one of the boys in the car. And he's like, your man even said, he goes, look, my job is to test you on your driving. He goes, I know within 5 minutes exactly the kind of driver you are. But he's like, I work with people and they will actually crack jokes about how nervous they made someone the morning of the test.
I remember the same thing happened to my son when he was doing the test. And I, you know, I thought I trained him well to have good manners and everything. And the tester came out of his office and he said his name, you know, and he got up and he walked over and he put his hand out to shake his hand and the tester wouldn't shake his hand. So anyway, he failed the test. I can't remember what he failed on that particular day. And I went over to the tester afterwards, being me, and I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, yeah. I said, why were you so rude to him? Because he told me all throughout the test he was really rude to him. He didn't make eye contact, wasn't nice to him. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want him to be his best friend. But that was exactly the reason he says to me. He says, I'm not his friend. I'm a tester. And I said, yeah, but yeah. I said, he just put his hand out to shake your hand. It was no harm to shake your hand. It wasn't the COVID or anything like that. You know, I mean, I find that the lack of manners that they have, it's too structured and they don't put people in ease. You're right.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
Like, he was just being an asshole, actually.
I've met one or two of them. Some of them are just shitheads. No, but like, things like, you get into your car, right? You're not getting into your car going, oh, fuck, I have to drive to the shop. What am I supposed to do here at the roundabout? Do you know what I mean? You're driving.
Yeah, have I looked in my mirror 3 times before?
Have I gone mirror signal? You know, don't run over the cyclist in front of me. Do you know? But like, you're not.
And nobody actually drives like that. You know what I mean?
No, you're not on edge like that when you're driving. You know what I mean? And if it wasn't for the guy that I had the second time, I probably would have failed it again because I get fierce anxious sometimes. You know. But like, I genuinely, like, that is a part of it. But we just need more testers. It's really that simple. And I mean,
you know, I didn't do a driver's test, by the way. I'd never done the test.
Yeah, I know. You got the amnesty, didn't you?
No, I didn't get the amnesty.
What was your first car? Was it a woolly mammoth or a brontosaurus?
my very first car was a Fiat 127, but I did the test in my father's car, which was a Ford Escort. And the story goes, right, very quickly, because I have to go to Thomas very quickly as well. The story goes, I arrived up in Park 8th Street at the test centre at Phoenix Park there, and the tester got into the car and he was an arsehole. And so he got into the car and he had his folder on his lap. And he said to me, he told me to turn left there at Phoenix Park as you're heading into town, up the street, up like a hill. And he says, okay, and I'm driving. And he says, take the next right. And he didn't look at me, he just kept looking ahead of him. Take the next right. So I looked on the ground and I saw a sign that said no entry. At least I thought I did. It said no entry. So I just kept driving. And he looked at me and he went, I thought I told you to turn right there. And I said, there's a sign on the ground that says no entry. He said, that's an old sign. He said, that's been burnt off. And I said, yeah, but I could still see it. And it said no entry. And he said, I wouldn't try and trick you. And I said, well, I thought that was part of the test thing, that you were trying to trick me to see would I turn right. And he says, why do you think I do that? And he started shit. I said, don't you raise your voice at me. And he says, I'm not raising. I said, yes, you are. I said, and I slammed the car into second gear, right? Turned, did a U-turn. And he went, and he was holding onto the seat. And he was, no, calm down, calm down, calm down. And I says, no. And where are you bringing me? I said, I'm bringing you back to the test centre. It was going down the road. And I opened the door of the car. I reached across him, opened the door of the car. And I said, get out of the car. And he said, hold on, Mr. Boylan. Hold on. And I said, just get out of the car. I said, I'm going to put in a complaint about you. And he said, no, it's no problem at all. He says, well done, congratulations, you passed your test. And he handed me the certificate.
Hey, Liz, I think we've got one before I even go. Right, so it's before the Burger King incident, you became a Karen, so, right? Nice one. We're establishing a time.
I'll be careful. Tonight. There's a real Karen on the air.
No, I am. I know when she was doing her test in Turles, and your man's like, right, head out the road here. And she's like, yeah, no problem. Keeps heading out the road. She's like, we're in the countryside now. She goes as far as Templemore. And turned us to Templemore. It's a bit of a spin. She looked at your man anyway. Your man was fast asleep in the passenger seat beside her. your man was after KO in there. He just after, so she pulled in somewhere and woke him up. He was like, oh, Jesus. Look, we'll go back to the test centre. Congratulations, you passed. We won't say
yeah. Well done on the long distance driving. Let me go to Thomas. Thomas, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Now, you're 19 years of age.
Last week.
Okay, young man. Good. Okay, so are you doing your test or what's the story?
I've done my test there 2 weeks ago and I failed, and I'm currently on the RSA website right now as we speak, and the waiting times are in around the 52-week mark. So it's...
Wow. Right. So you've no... And does it matter? Can you pick a different test centre or whatever? Or are you allowed to do that?
What some people were doing, and I've done it myself, and that's how I got my first test fairly quick, is you book at a test centre down in, let's say, Lights of Monaghan, and then when you get a date, you change back to wherever in Dublin it is.
Okay.
And that's how I got my test fairly quick enough. I got it first time. I didn't pass first time, but I got my...
Why did you fail it, by the way? What did you do wrong?
I'm not going to lie, it was something silly. I think I may have just cut a corner.
I was going to say, did you run over a pedestrian? That'll do it.
Okay. You hit a cyclist, it's okay.
Not mind you.
And are you confident you'll get it when you do eventually get a test 52 weeks later? So what are you going to do, by the way? Do you have a car?
I drive my parents' car at the moment, and I drive machinery the odd time as well, and I've been in machinery since I was a kid. So,
well, driving a tractor, is it?
Smaller tractors, yeah.
Oh, Karen, he's a tractor driver.
And dumper.
Yeah, sorry, Karen had a thing about tractor drivers. Yeah, so, okay, so are you planning to get your own car soon?
Yeah, that's the plan, as soon as I pass my test, because I can never understand folks paying €3,000 for a year to drive a car that they legally cannot drive, and if they are in a crash, their insurance is void anyway, so it's pointless.
Well, yeah, if you don't have the learner or the qualified driver with you, your insurance is void.
It's void as soon as you have a crash.
Yep. Yep. If you don't have a qualified driver with you. If you're in a learner permit and you don't have a qualified driver with you, your insurance is invalid.
Totally. And even the theory test itself is... the first time I've done my theory test, I failed again. And what the silliest questions was a picture of a sheep. And the question was a multiple choice question. What is this sign mean? Does it mean possibility of farm animals ahead or possibility of sheep ahead? It's a picture of a sheep, so I picked possibility of sheep ahead or possibility of farm animals ahead. Does it make a difference?
Yeah. What difference does it make, by the way, if the sheep or farm? If sheep is a farm animal, so what difference would it really make if you answer the question either way?
Sheep are softer when you hit them.
What?
They're softer when they come through the windshield.
I don't know.
A dinner and a jumper.
I don't know if I'd pass the theory test now. If somebody gave me a motor theory test, I'm not too sure whether I'd pass it or not.
And there's too many questions on the theory test to try to trick you out, like.
Yeah.
There is. That's how they make the money.
So, yeah, there is a high fail rate. I think the fail rate's over 50% for the test in general, the driving test in general. So, there is a bit of a money making aspect to it.
Down the road from me in where I am, the pass rate is in around the 40% mark, so it's not that high. It's actually one of the lowest in the country, which I didn't know at the time, unbeknownst to me when I booked the test there. So,
real people, real opinions, real talk radio, the multi award winning Niall Boylan Show.